You can be seated. Well, I'm Paul. I'm the Next Steps pastor here at Grace River. So glad that you guys are with us. And I love a child dedication day like that because of what Pastor Chris just said, that no matter what your story has been, God can rewrite that and change it and shape that for generations to come. Jennifer and I, both of us, our parents were first-generation followers of Jesus. They were the ones that turned the corner for our families and pointed us towards God. And now we're passing that down to our generation of our children and hopefully one day their children. And I don't know what your story has been. Maybe you come from a long line of people who have followed after Jesus. Maybe you're the first. Maybe you're exploring faith and checking God out, not sure what you believe, and maybe you'll be the first. But I just want to encourage you, don't pass it down. Don't pass it along to your children or your grandchildren to be the ones to turn the corner. You be the one. You be the one. No matter what your heritage has been, your legacy can be more than you ever dreamed. You be the one to turn the corner for your family. Well, hey, we are in the second week of a series called Bless. And I don't know if, well, I know you have, and I know I have as well, those moments where you're talking to somebody and you feel like they're not really listening. And like you could say something absolutely ridiculous and they probably wouldn't change their face because they're just not paying attention to you. I'm sure you've done that. I know I've done that. And or maybe it's been a situation where they thought they knew what you were saying, but they didn't know what you were saying because they were not really listening or they were mishearing. My mom is like famous for that. Like my mom would ask us stuff. Like we'd be talking and then she would say, "What did you say?" And then she would say something crazy like the bacon is flying or whatever. And you'd be like, "No, like why would I ever say that? I don't know if anyone in history of the world has said that. Why did you think that was a thing that would come out of my mouth?" But I don't know if you've ever heard the term mondegreen. A mondegreen is it's a misheard lyric. Right? Have you ever been in the car or at your home or wherever it was? Maybe it was with friends, maybe it was with family, and you're singing a song, and then they go, "Wait, what are you singing?" And it's not the right lyric. Like you've been singing the wrong lyric for a while, or your friend was singing the wrong lyric for a while, and you thought it said that, but it didn't actually say that. There's actually some famous ones out there, mondegreens that like are ones that are common. One of them is from Taylor Swift from Blank Space. The lyric is "Long list of ex-lovers," but it sounds a lot like "Lonely Starbucks lovers." She's actually commented on social media about that song because of that. Or Elton John, the famous song "Tiny Dancer," right, where it's "Hold me closer." You know this one? "Hold me closer, Tony Danza," like the actor. Like that's what people sing. "Hold me closer, Tony Danza." Or Queen, "We Will Rock You," kicking your can all over the place, but people hear "kicking your cat all over the place," which actually is a better lyric. But Celine Dion singing "My Heart Will Go On" from the Titanic, that famous song, that famous movie. Matter of fact, just take a look at it here a second. Pause it here, and then she says, "I believe the hot dogs will go on." Like, yeah, watch.
"I believe that the hot dogs go on."
You will never hear that song again without hearing hot dogs. You know, we all have things that we thought we heard, things we misheard. There's all these funny things with like listening or not listening. And some of us are better at listening than others. Some aren't great at it. Most of us aren't awesome at it. But when you feel like you have something important to share, when you feel like you have something that's on your heart and someone isn't listening, it feels, you feel unheard, maybe even unloved, certainly not blessed. We're in this series, Bless, and it's based off of kind of this book, or the general idea is, Bless, five everyday ways to love your neighbor and change your world. A number of you have gotten this already. If you use the QR code in the seat in front of you, we have a link tree there. There's actually a link to Amazon for this book. So you might want to pick that up. Our small groups are doing this book. And As we're going through it, there's some challenges to go along with it. And I know what it'll do. It'll help you do what you want to do, which is to love and bless the people around you. But instead of just kind of hoping it happens, it will help you make that happen, to help you help others meet, know, and follow Jesus. So I encourage you to kind of pick up that book. And in this series, this idea of BLESS is this kind of acronym, B-L-E-S-S. Pastor Chris did the first one last week. And if you were at the 9:45 service, he didn't do that in here because we had so many baptisms, he had kind of scrapped the message. And so he sent a link earlier this week, but you can just watch that message on our website to catch up with that. But he talked about this idea of beginning with prayer, of really asking God, show me who you want me to bless, and see what God might do with that. And one of the things he says, really, we're just following the model of Jesus as he went to the Father in critical moments, even as he kind of figured out who the disciples were going to be. He spent all night praying as he kind of came to his Father before he went to those people. And Chris said this, he said, we need to talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. It's so good. The acronym BLESS, begin with prayer. One of the ways that you can kind of do that to get some people kind of in your head is use what we call a Francis list, F-R-A-N-C-E-S. It's simply friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers, enemies, strangers. To just use that as a list to help you come up with who are the people around me that are outside of a relationship with God that I want them to experience the hope and life that I'm experiencing. So it's a way to just kind of jog your memory of some of those people to be praying for. And then I want to just let you know of like one other thing that you might want to pick up. It's called the BLESS app. You'll see the picture of it in the app store. It looks like that. The BLESS app is this really cool app that I'll just show you a little clip of that, a little screenshot of it. But it gives you a daily kind of devotional, a little video, and then a prayer list of people. Those people are actually in my neighborhood, and then there's a whole list of people that are in my neighborhood, and a map of kind of the area, kind of rudimentary map of the area as well. And you can actually have notifications come to you every day, like I do, and it gives me 5 neighbors to pray for. Now, here's what's golden about that. For a lot of you, you've lived in the same place for a little while. You've run into some of your neighbors that are 3 or 4 doors down. You've run into them a few different times. You waved, you talked about this or that, but now it's at a place or like you don't know their name, and it's been like 5 years, and now it feels really awkward to go and ask their name, but the BLESS app will give you their names. And so you've got their names, and then you can go in there and be like, I cannot believe they remembered my name. And you're like, I'm totally cheating. But like, you've got that app. There's actually a little place where you can put notes. So I've got a neighbor down the street from me, Tim, and I talked to him a little while ago, and he said that he worked at Lambert Airport. He's been there for 7 years. I just put that in there so I could kind of remember that he was at Lambert Airport or whatever. And you can put your church down as well, and it will show, like, collectively who we're praying for. And can you imagine, like, that's 40 neighbors that are kind of cycling through. So I'm getting those about every 8 days. I'm getting a new group of the 5 neighbors and then the other 5. And by 8 days, I've went through all 40 neighbors. Can you imagine if all of us did that, how many people just in our community we would be praying for? And here's one thing I would just suggest, that when you begin to pray for someone, your heart begins to open up towards them. Like when you begin to pray for someone, the neighbor that just totally annoys you down the street, it can begin to soften your heart a little bit. So again, I just want to encourage you to take some steps in to begin with prayer and see what God will do, because I believe God has placed you where he's placed you, at the workplace, in the neighborhood, at the school. He's placed you there, and he wants you to represent him by loving the world around you and blessing the people around you. And one of the places that happens is in our neighborhood. So today, we're going to look at the L in BLESS, which is listening. A lot of us are not great at listening or asking questions. I'm sure you've come back from some place where you were talking with somebody and you told a friend or a spouse or whoever, like, they didn't ask me any questions. They talk, but they never asked me anything. It so often happens. We're not really listening. To bless people, though, we need to listen to people, to really listen to them, to hear their hurt, their struggle, their pain, their joys, their celebrations, their doubts, to hear what they're saying when we don't really even know fully kind of what's going on in their life, or to hear what they're saying by what they're not saying. Because honestly, a lot of what people are saying goes unheard because we're not really listening. Jennifer and I have friends that they've been friends for decades. We went to graduate school together. We've never lived near each other, but we FaceTime and we text, and Jennifer and Kathy, they Marco Polo almost every day. Both of them have lost their moms, and I think it's just a way to kind of share all the stuff that they would share with their mom, but they share with each other. And when we're together, I mean, it's always just really rich and just such a great time. But one of the things that you feel when we talk with Greg and Kathy is that when we get done talking with them, we feel heard, we feel understood, we feel loved, because they listen. Listening is loving. David Augsburger says this, author, he says, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. Listening is loving, and not listening is unloving. In Proverbs 18:13, it says, it's stupid and embarrassing to give an answer before you listen. It's stupid and embarrassing to give an answer before you listen. Ouch. Proverbs 18:2 says this, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. This is social media, right? This is social media. This is our political system. This is all, like, so much of our world is this, right? Just airing our opinions without ever trying to understand anybody else. In James chapter 1, verse 19, way at the back of the Bible, it says this, understanding this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Foolish people don't listen. Foolish people don't try to understand. Instead, we're called to open our ears and to shut our mouths, to listen more. So here's what I want to do. We're going to take just a moment. They do this in the book, and I'm going to do that here. In just a moment, we're going to just be quiet for 15 seconds. I'm going to have you close your eyes. I'm going to have you just kind of quiet down. We're just going to be silent and eyes closed, 15 seconds. And I want you to just listen to the stuff around you, okay? So 3, 2, 1. Okay. Now, what you notice a lot of times is stuff that you didn't notice before, right? Maybe you hear the creak of the stage. You hear a little baby, just a little murmur. You hear something kick on with the heat or the air conditioning, wherever we're at right now, right, with that. But you hear these things that they were happening before, but you didn't hear them because you weren't listening for them. And we're called to listen, to kind of still ourselves in a world of chaos and listen to those around us. Again, a lot of what people are saying goes unheard because we're not really listening. But if we'll listen, we'll hear, and we'll be better able and ready to bless those around us, to love those around us, because listening is loving. You know, when we look at the life of Jesus, we see this in his life. His ability to listen to people, to get to the heart of their issues, to deal with what was really going on in their life. Jesus was asked like 183 questions in the New Testament, and he directly responded to like three of them. Almost everything that he responded was back with a question, trying to get the heart of like what was really going on, what was behind the first question, what's really happening in that person's life. He's trying to get to the spiritual truth or the hurt or the suffering or whatever it was. He continued to ask these questions of people. He heard the questions and the shouts of others over the crowd, like the lame man by the pool. He saw the pain and got people to open up and share their story so that he could love them well, like the woman at the well. I want to look in Mark chapter 5 in the New Testament. Mark chapter 5 is the second book of the New Testament, fifth chapter. Again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are these biographies of Jesus' life. So if you're new to the Bible, they tell the stories of Jesus, and it's a great place to kind of jump in and start. Mark chapter 5, verse 21, I'm just going to hit some highlights. We've talked about this story before here. But Jesus lands back in a place called Capernaum, where he had performed a number of different miracles. And so this crowd gathers around him because he's back, and they want to see another miracle. And so there's this huge crowd around him, including a guy named Jairus, who was a synagogue leader. A synagogue leader was one of the most respected people, if not the most respected person in their community. And this religious leader, this Jairus, he comes before Jesus and he just falls to the ground before Jesus. It was such a shocking thing to everybody because this is like the most well-respected person. He kind of falls down in the dirt, but he's desperate because his little girl is on her deathbed. And he's begging Jesus to go with him. And I love how Jesus responds because he doesn't go like, well, hey, we got a pretty big itinerary. We'll see what's going on today. Maybe you can get there around like 3. He didn't gather the disciples together and go, hey, there's a synagogue leader. What do you think? What should we do? It just says, so he went with him. And the guy begs him to go. He goes, so he went with him. And Jesus is heading to this guy's house. This guy is desperate. The crowd is pressing in around him. Another account says it's like they could barely breathe. It's like this, think about like a rock concert and you're the front couple rows and the crowd pushes forward. It's a crazy environment that Jesus is in. Everybody wanting to see the next miracle. And then we run into a woman in that crowd. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She'd been hemorrhaging, bleeding for 12 years. The loss of blood had made her weak. The suffering had been immense. She'd spent every dollar she had trying to get well, but no doctor could figure out what the problem was, could heal her, and things just kind of got worse and worse and worse. It's not just that. She also was a Jewish woman, and being Jewish meant that with the bleeding that she was ceremonially unclean, which meant she couldn't go to the synagogue to worship. She really couldn't be around other people socially because if she touched them, then they would be unclean. And there was a whole system of how you went from unclean to clean, kind of the 7-day process. But for her, she was perpetually bleeding, so she was just always unclean. For 12 years, couldn't go and worship, couldn't be around other people. But here she is in this moment, and she's just as desperate as Jairus was with his dying daughter, that she's willing to kind of fight through the crowd to see Jesus. So she hears about Jesus, and in verse 28, it says, so she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. She just believes that this Jesus, this miracle worker, like he could heal her if she could just even just touch his robe. And she's desperate, so she's willing to fight through this crowd, knowing that every person that she pushes past, she's making unclean. Every person she's pushing past is now in this like 7-day thing. They got to figure that out. They got to go through all the process to be clean again, including Jesus, who she's going to touch his robe, and he's on his way to heal or to go visit this dying girl. But she's got to get to Jesus, so she presses in, she presses through, she grabs the tassels of his robe. And in verse 29, it says this, immediately the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed from this terrible condition. Like immediately. She just felt it in her body. She knew that she was free from that suffering. I think about the child dedications that we had today, and I know that within those child dedications, there's a few of those parents that had prayed and cried tears for years that they'd be able to have a baby. They were suffering, calling out to God, crying out to God that they'd be healed, that they'd be able to have a child. And my guess is in a room this size that there is many here who you've been walking through your own suffering in one way or another. There's a relational suffering. There's something that you've been going through and dealing with, and it's just been difficult. You've been crying out to God and all of that. We have a God who hears, who listens, who sees. And I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but I know that he's with you. He's walking with us in the middle of our suffering. I want to take just a pause for a moment. Sometimes we need a commercial break in a message or whatever. And I want to let you know, next week, Sunday, next week, we're going to have a bless offering. And this is why I'm bringing this up right now. In that blessed offering, we're actually looking to raise $30,000 together, collectively, kind of outside of our normal giving, as a way to bless those around the world who are suffering. And if we can, 100% of us, just participate that in that in some way, We have the opportunity to alleviate suffering and bless the world around us. A couple of ways that we're doing that is we're going to be packing up at our Serve Saturday 50,000 meals that'll be going to Africa, these villages. Pastor Chris showed some video and some pictures of what we did last year, which was 50,000 meals. We were able to make a difference in the lives of people who need hope and need help. We'll not only be doing that in Africa, but we're going to be giving away all sorts of turkeys and Thanksgiving food boxes to people here in St. Charles County who are just walking through some stuff and need some help, need someone to come alongside of them and to bless them and to help alleviate a little bit of the suffering that they've been walking through. And we're going to be bringing all sorts of medical supplies and food and supplies to people in need in the Dominican Republic. We have a team of 17 people from Grace River that are leaving November 1 to go to the Dominican and to care for some Haitians who have been transplanted, have been displaced from Haiti. If you know anything about Haiti, it's probably the poorest country in the world. We have the opportunity to bring hope and help to alleviate some suffering and to bless those around us. So, man, I would love for you to participate with us in that. Jesus seemed to see the person who was suffering. As he listened to their stories, their suffering came out, and he had the opportunity to bring healing to them. But it wasn't even just the physical healing. It says this in verse 30, Mark 5:29 said immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition of her suffering. In verse 30, it says that Jesus knew that power had gone out from his body, that something had happened that way, and that somebody had touched him, not just touched him, because the disciples are like, when Jesus goes like, hey, who touched me? The disciples are like, everybody touched you. Like, the whole crowd is around you. But he knew something different. He knew it wasn't just a finger, but it was faith that touched him. Power went out of his body. This woman was healed. And so he looks around looking for this woman. And then it says this in Mark chapter 5, verse 33. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. In verse 32, it says that Jesus kind of made eye contact with her. Like, she knew, like, I'm busted. And so she comes forward, and she falls at his feet, just like Jairus had fallen at Jesus' feet. It says she tells him the whole truth, trembling with fear. Now, I don't know why she was trembling with fear. Maybe it was just because of the power of what just happened to her. Like, amazed that this person healed her. Maybe it's because she knew that she just touched everybody and made them unclean. Whatever reason, she's trembling with fear. She falls before the feet of Jesus, and she tells him the whole truth. And I love that in another account of this, it says, so she told him her whole story. Jesus is on the way to heal this little girl from a VIP, and this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years touches him, and he stops, and he listens to her whole story. And the reason why we know so much about this, that it was 12 years and that she'd been bleeding, that she'd went to all these doctors and that she spent all her money, and what she was thinking when she went up to approach Jesus, is because she told her whole story. And Jesus heard it, and the disciples heard it, and the community, the crowd heard her story. And Jesus brings healing to her, but because he listened to her story, he not only brought healing to her physical suffering, but to her emotional and spiritual self that needed healing as well. Matter of fact, immediately he calls her daughter. This is the only time this specific word is used in the New Testament. It calls this woman daughter. Because I think that he just knew that she'd been 12 years without being able to really be around hardly anybody. 12 years without being able to go to worship at church. 12 years without friends and family around her, that she needed not only physical healing, but emotional and spiritual healing. He calls her daughter, invites her into a relationship, and with that kind of one word, it tells the whole crowd that she's been healed. Not because she just touched his robe, but because of her faith. And that she's now restored physically, but also socially and spiritually. He blessed her because listening is loving, and love listens. And if we'll listen, if we'll truly listen to people, we can bring that same kind of blessing. we can meet the tangible physical need of the person. We can see the emotional and spiritual need of the person. And you don't have to have all the answers, and you don't have to be the fix-it person. You just have to care enough to listen. Because when you listen, you love like Jesus. So who can you bless this week? Simply by listening to them. My guess is you'll have opportunity to do just that. Maybe with somebody you don't even know. In the Blessed book, the author Dave, he tells a story of a guy named Joe. Joe was a guy that was in his small group. And Joe was this incessant talker. He was a little socially awkward. And Dave decided for the good of the group, he was going to have to pull Joe aside and kind of tell him, like, hey, can you just kind of quiet down a little bit so that other people can talk? He said, he told him this, Joe, if you would just give other people a chance to talk, take a breath between sentences and not dominate the conversation so much, you might find that people might want to talk with you more, which was a little direct, right? But he said that Joe's demeanor changed. He looked down, he got serious, and he said, Dave, the reason I talk so much on Sundays is that this is the only human contact I have in my entire week. The only people I get to converse with Monday through Saturday are the cashiers at the grocery store. Of course, Dave felt awful as he listened, really listened to him for the first time. He found out that he had no family, no brothers, no sisters, no children, no friends to talk to at all. And then Dave said this. He said that Joe told him something. He said, I'm afraid that if I don't keep talking, act happy and upbeat, that no one will talk to me at all. See, a lot of what people are saying goes unheard because we're not really listening. But if we'll listen with intention, like Jesus did with the woman, if we listen with intention, we can bless those around us. And they can experience the hope and love that only Jesus can bring. The question is, are we willing? Are we willing to listen? So I want to give you just a couple next steps. Number one, would you begin with prayer? Asking simply, God, would you show me this day? Would you show me this week who to bless? Number two, make your Francis list and pray for them. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers, enemies, strangers. Who are the people in my life that don't know God that I could just pray for and see what God might do in their life? Third, would you listen to someone's story this week? What if we all just took the challenge this week to listen to somebody's story? Just ask some questions, hear more about their story, about who they are, about what makes them tick, about what's going on in their life. Just dig in and ask a few questions to get to know someone's story. And then this week, would you listen more than you talk? Would you listen more than you talk? It's Child Dedication Day for some of us. Honestly, as parents, it's easy to talk to our kids. Right, there's always another lecture, there's always another scolding or another thing that we need to work through with them, a thing to correct, a thing to fix. But what if we just took time to listen? Just listen to their hearts. Jesus changed lives because he noticed people that others ignored. He asked questions others never thought to ask. He listened when others walked away. And when we do that, when we show up, and we listen, and we put away the distractions, we love like Jesus. Because listening isn't just hearing words. Listening is hearing the heart of a person, someone God loves. Listening is loving. And when someone feels hurt, they feel loved. So let's bless people this week as we listen to them. Let's pray together. God, I pray that you would help us this week to listen, to hear what people are saying, to listen to the hurt, to the suffering of those around us, to share your hope, your life with them. God, we thank you that you hear us, that whatever we're walking through, for some of us, this week has been horrible. For this week, we've been walking through our own suffering. God, I thank you that we have a God who listens, who hears, who cares about us and walks with us. God, may we bless others as we listen to them, as we point them to the one ultimately who can bring hope and joy and life and peace. God, may we honor you as we represent you in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. And thank you guys for being here this morning. My hope is that you take a next step closer to meeting, knowing, and following Jesus. This offering for the Bless offering is coming up on the 26th of October. I would ask all of you to pray about being a part of this. It's going to be a great opportunity for us as a church to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so that's October 26th. And again, the goal is 30,000, but my number one goal is that we get to 100%. That's 100% of everybody that calls Grace River Church their home. giving back to this. It's going to be a great opportunity, as I mentioned before. You want to be sure to be back next weekend as we continue this series. I'll be preaching, and so, man, I hope that you're back for that. Let's stand together. Thank you for your generosity this week. Those who gave online, you can give on your way back in the offering drop boxes on your way out of here. God bless you. Have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you.